There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Ash Wednesday. Glad you're here. Another couple hours of live local talk. I've got this show going until 1 o'clock. Scuttlebutt Radio Network coming in from 1 to 2 today to make some adjustments for the Auburn basketball schedule for this evening. By the way, just a couple updates here on it being the day after being Ash Wednesday. I checked the local news, and I and Leanna is so much better at this than me. Maybe you can find it, but... The iconic B-roll shot of the couch in Bienville Square, right there, you know, the same thing that's been in every newscast on Ash Wednesday that I've seen since I was a little kid. There'd always be like, and, you know, crews today are cleaning up in downtown Mobile after, okay. And there's always like a couch in Bienville Square. I did not see the couch while I was down there yesterday, but I've looked through the news sources and nobody's using that B-roll anymore. So maybe times have changed. We've moved on from that. But if you can find Atlanta, it would continue the streak, which has been a few decades long, of that B-roll shot of the couch there in Bienville Square. Also, as we get started, I talked about this on Twitter yesterday. I wasn't on the radio yesterday, but talked about it with Governor Ivey calling on the ABC stores, the state-run liquor stores, you know, because the state needs to be in the business of selling liquor, to remove Russian vodka, get it off the shelves. First of all, I don't call it, if you watch Twitter, I don't call it vodka anymore. It's freedom juice. And why don't you do this? Whatever the governor is doing with the state-run liquor stores, why don't you just give that up for Lent, right? Two birds, one stone, and you could do it that way. All right, our guest this hour, my friend Cameron Smith with AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Lots to talk about with this man, and let's get to ripping here. You want to talk about ABC Store at all as I start?
Absolutely, Sean, because of the fact I have the chickens have come home to roost and that I've often referred to ABC as a Soviet-style liquor distribution system. And so the fact that Governor Ivey is like, let us take our Soviet system and remove the Russian alcohol is just rich for me. But, I mean, I get it. And frankly, I appreciate the symbolic gesture. I mean, what Russia's doing here is evil, and we need to take it in every way possible.
We're going to talk about Russians being evil in this, and there's no disagreement here from me. I see the symbolic gesture. Of course, like I've said, I don't even use the V word anymore. It's freedom juice now. It's not V word. But we're still importing Russian oil, okay? There's still Russian oil being sold on the world market. You can pour out all the freedom juice you want, and that makes no difference. It's the strangest system where a world, and you know, former President Trump pointed it out to NATO, to where you're pumping money into a system that is waging war on a country that we are supporting with munitions. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, Sean, the hard part about these issues is that they are really complicated. It's very easy to say, no more. We're not taking any Russian imports. The reason that we continue to buy Russian oil is we have some old refineries because of the war on fossil fuels. We haven't really upgraded some of these refineries, and they need a heavier version of crude. And so because of sanctions on Iran and Venezuela, they need to run at peak capacity a certain type of oil that Russia provides. And so that's one of those sort of unique situations where I actually agree. Hey, we probably need to feel the pain and just shut it off.
Yep.
But it reduces our capacity to turn that oil into gas, and that's felt at the pump.
I'm sorry. It sucks, okay? It's going to be felt at the pump, but I'm not going to pump money into the Russian government there that goes straight from those companies right into the government and their effort to wage war. I'd rather buy oil from Venezuela, to be frank with you, than I would Russia.
Well, I would like to buy it from neither of them. And I agree
but if I had to choose.
Yeah, and I think that a former puppet state of Russia, is not much better than Russia anyway. But the point is, you're right. And I think this is where, as Americans, we kind of have to have a little bit of resolve here. What Vladimir Putin is doing is morally evil. We can't make a mistake about that. And then the answer is, okay, we're not going to put boots on the ground. We're not going to enter into a direct war with Russia. But I think that we need to be willing to pay a price at the pump or otherwise to combat what he is doing, because it's unmistakably wrong.
We can use this. Here's our transition into last night's State of the Union, right? So President Biden, and we can go through the gaffe machine, but that's probably been done enough in media today. So let's just go through the things that are wrong in the content. That number one, we don't step up and say we're going to ban the Russian oil. And number two, that there's not a mention of drilling. Or of increasing production. I know that is like a third rail for somehow for this, air quotes here, moderate Democrat President Joe Biden. But if he wants to come up in the opinion polls, he wants to get his numbers up, some kind of discussion of, okay, this is a temporary order. We're still working towards, non-fossil fuel technology and all this. But in the short order, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do to help the American people. We're going to fight the Russians by not, starving them on this money for oil. And we're going to produce here stateside, putting more people to work. I mean, how about just a little bit of that?
Yeah, I totally agree, Sean. And this is a situation where Biden had a real opportunity, had a lot of solidarity on his remarks on the Ukraine, and had just an opportunity to talk about energy independence and say, hey, Republicans, I hear you. Right now, we need to expand our conventional energy production to help out the rest of the world and cut the legs out from Vladimir Putin while reducing our demand on fossil fuel that supports these guys in the first place. And so I think there was an easy way for him to kind of placate both sides, Republican and Democrat, and say, we've got to do this. And he missed pretty badly. And I'm writing a column on that because I think it's that important. And I don't think it's just oil, not oil. It's nuclear. It's how are we going to power the future? And I think this is one where Republicans have to get on board with a new energy future, that we're going to have electric vehicles. We're going to have different kinds of energy. That's actually really, really good for our country. It's not a liberal thing. It's a future thing. But I agree that we're in a transition point, and where Democrats have been really wrong is to say, well, let's just cut it off. Let's stop the things, the bridge fuels like natural gas, stuff like that, that gets us where we need to go. And it puts people in a really, really bad position.
Okay, we can talk about what I feel are the issues with electric vehicles. I'm not anti. I mean, I'm the guy that's had solar panels for a decade at a camp, and I love all that stuff. But I also realize what's realistic right now to fuel this planet and to fuel, the growth of places not even in the United States. So you look at this. Okay, let's talk about electric cars for a second. I'm not going to take it the whole way in that, because we'll have another show about that. But President Biden last night talks about electric vehicle production. Okay, great. But he doesn't even mention the number one producer of electric vehicles in this country. This is when the politics is so raw. I mean, he mentions what, like Ford or GM?
Right.
Did you hear Tesla mentioned last night?
I didn't.
Tesla has, like, by leaps and bounds, the highest production numbers for battery-powered electric vehicles in the U.S. I mean, outpacing those other two. At no mention, like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I mean, again, this was not a time in the State of the Union for President Biden to play politics. It was, here's where we are. We need to come together on these fronts. Hey, there are some things that haven't gone well. And what was really weird for me during his speech was he acknowledged things like inflation, but he didn't really seem to acknowledge his administration's role in it. And it was like, well, invest more American or something. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys dumped money everywhere. And really contributed to the factors that have created this inflation. And there just wasn't a lot of accountability. It was almost sort of like, oh, man, this inflation is surprising. We should do something about it. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You made choices that helped get us here. At least take a little bit of responsibility for that and say, hey, we're going to get out. And it seemed like, again, his answer was, we need to spend more money, which means he didn't learn the lesson.
No, and if you, when I watched State of the Union this morning, I did the double tap on the YouTube video to back it up 10 seconds and then 20 seconds to hear that line again. At one point, I don't have it in front of me, I don't have a poll cut, but to paraphrase, the president said it was they didn't realize how successful the economy would be, you know, with what they had done, and it roared back to life, and that is what's driven. That's what's driven up the inflation. It's just the great success, and I'm picturing Borat, great success of the economy under Biden and the jobs. I mean, how do you roll that line out and not, like, at least get a little red in the face?
Yeah, I think the answer is you should. And again, if I am Joe Biden, I'm going to my team and saying, look, y'all, we need to focus on Ukraine, American leadership around the world, energy independence, you know, the kind of people we are as Americans. But he went with this laundry list of, like, sort of not great policies that I mean, watching it kind of was like, is there something else I can do? Because it was just eminently forgettable. There wasn't, it was, here's some policy things Democrats like, and, you know, get off my lawn. And that's kind of where it felt like that. Hey, actually, the get off the lawn moments were highlights for me. And the rest of it was just like, oh, okay. And just wasn't very interesting.
How about the fund the police? Did that? It had a real hollow feeling to me when he was like, what we need to do is, after a few platitudes, they said, well, we have to fund the police, not defund the police, which got some cheers. But I just, my cynicism is here. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing just was kind of flat. It's like, oh, really? Democrats are now going to be the, you know, party of, like, law enforcement. Well, I mean, you've had cities around the country that have had it launched into the failed experiment of radically reducing police funding. And while I absolutely think we need to engage in reforms, and I'm all for re-examining our criminal justice system, most police officers aren't our enemies. They're actually our public servants. They help us out a lot. And we need to work through a lot of these issues in a common sense fashion. And those things just feel kind of hollow. That was my takeaway from the State of the Union, was it was sort of barely there. And part of that's probably because they had a State of the Union speech prepared, and then the stuff happens with Ukraine, and they're like, oh, scratch, we got to do some other stuff. And maybe it sort of paled in importance to the moment we are in sort of global politics. But I think that's part of the issue, is that, you know, it was sort of like, well, you know, we've done some stuff, and our big takeaway from doing this stuff is doing the same thing. And, you know, most Americans are probably scratching their heads saying, well, I don't think that's working, so maybe we should not do that.
Coming right back, more of our conversation with Cameron Smith from AL.com. Our latest opinion piece over at AL.com from Cameron Smith, Fly, Ghost of Kyiv, or Kiev, whichever, what, Fly. And that's something we talked about, the Ghost of Kyiv, on this show. He addresses it in his piece. We'll talk more about that coming up. Right now, the final Moon Pie Minute of the season on this Ash Wednesday.
For more than three centuries, Mobilians have been celebrating Mardi Gras. Mystic societies grow in both size and number. The parades get prettier, the crowds get bigger. Something both uniquely Mobile, while at the same time something nearly ageless. Fun, food, frivolity, friendship, and fellowship has been the order of the day as huge crowds watch parades, listen to music, danced, spent time with family and friends. Mobilians and their visitors, rich and poor, black or white, young and old, in the tradition of the first French at Old Mobile of Michael Kraft, Joe Kane, and Chief Slack, and countless members of Mystic societies took some time to be with family and friends. Now as Lent begins, many Mardi Gras revelers are putting away things of the flesh to spend a little time thinking about their Maker. When the ashes are put on their foreheads today, we hear the words, "From dust you came, and to dust you shall return." Until next Mardi Gras, I'm Rennie Brabner, and this has been a Moon Pie Minute.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Ash Wednesday. Glad to have you here and good to talk to my buddy Cameron Smith, AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Latest piece over at AL.com. Fly, Ghost of Kyiv, fly. Cameron, walk us through your column here and what you have to say.
Sure. I mean, the answer is we need to be morally ambiguous about what's happening in the Ukraine. There's a tendency to say, well, it's kind of far off. And this is a regional conflict, and I understand that, right? And I'm not advocating and haven't advocated for us to put boots on the ground or treat this as if it was a close ally, but it is a growing democracy. It's certainly not perfect. Tucker Carlson has made this point of, hey, this is not just, this isn't just like us, but I think that the people are showing that they're a lot more like us than maybe we thought. Yeah. They are not abandoning their home. They are willing to fight and defend it. Their leaders are willing to fight and defend because they want to be independent of Russia. This is very much different than what we saw in, for example, Afghanistan, where the leaders get some money and run.
Gone.
And because there's not a feeling that, you know, that people would actually fight for the governance of their country, for their independence, and that proved to be correct. Ukraine's the opposite of that. It is free people saying, I want to be free another day. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, with sticks and rocks and whatever I've got, fight a massive invading force. And the gist of the piece is we can't forget that like we are descended from people who went through a very similar reality of wanting to be free and having to fight an overwhelming force to secure that. And we've paid that price constantly through our history. And at times, that's involved us in global conflicts. And I think we need to be sort of aware of the moment where we are in history, because it feels a lot like sort of Neville Chamberlain's interactions mm-hmm. with Hitler. And how this appeasement mindset may work maybe for a minute, but it's contingent on how evil and aggressive Vladimir Putin is. And that's a scary thing, because it's one thing to say, well, we'll just kind of try to mitigate, you know, sanction and do. My opinion is we need to be as aggressive as we can possibly be in creating political pain for Vladimir Putin at home in Russia, short of boots on the ground. And that if he keeps escalating, and certainly if he attacks a NATO ally, we are indeed in World War III, and we need to be sober about that.
Absolutely. And I think this idea, I may be wrong, but the idea that this is going to be some kind of short conflict is wrong. So, you know, the chances for this to become something bigger continues. This could be a decades-long conflict there. You know,
absolutely. And I don't think that for any of NATO or the United States, let's just say Russia does capture Ukraine. Well, I don't think the rest of the world is going to say, okay, just kidding, you win, you get right. Ukraine now. And they were not, I would not recognize a puppet government. I wouldn't do those things. And, you know, I talk about the Ghost of Kyiv, which is this ace Ukrainian fighter that's, the story's probably Ukrainian propaganda. But my point is, we need to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Ukrainian people and encourage them. And if that's, hey, there's this fiction that's sensational and interesting, fly, Ghost of Kyiv, fly. Because I think that's really, really important that we stand with folks who are innocent here. They did not provoke this war. This was an invasion by Russia, and we need to do everything we can to make them feel the pain for that.
Well said, Cameron. Folks want to talk with you about this or a whole host of other items that you write about. Where do they go?
You can go to al.com/opinion. You can go to @DCameronSmith on Twitter. As always, I enjoy the conversation, and this is definitely a moment to pay attention.
Well said. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, thank you. Coming up, more of this conversation here because I got some text to get to at 343-0106. In addition, I guess, programming notes for today. Just joining the show. With Auburn basketball and the time frame, Scuttlebutt Radio Network has moved to 1 o'clock, and they'll be on from 1 to 2 o'clock. So Midday Mobile until 1, then Scuttlebutt Radio Network, 1 to 2 o'clock. News is coming up next.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Ash Wednesday. Say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and Suburbans in the mix. You and I were having some Suburban chat earlier. Suburbans and trucks, how's the inventory looking?
Great. We've just traded in another Suburban that actually used to belong with the Yukon XL. Used to belong to my wife.
Really
cool. Nice truck. And we've got a lot of the 2015-17 body styles in stock. Tahoes, Suburbans, soccer moms. I mean, dads like to have a lot of room. They're great.
Now, how's financing looking? I mean, people are talking about the markets and all these things going on. What are y'all seeing in financing rates?
Well, right now, I think Mobile's in its own little bubble like we try to stay. The rates are staying steady. I mean, nobody's changed anything on us.
That's great news for us. All right, so if somebody wants to come out, talk financing, check out the inventory, how'd they find you?
We're at Plantation Highway 90 in Theodore. You give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to our website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Right, to some of these texts, and I want to get a couple other, there's a story from The Sun about the, you've heard this about the Russian soldiers that are like self-sabotaging and trying to, you know, people that are not motivated to go into this war, and we'll get to that in a second. Let me get the latest update too, here, hold on, because I'm going to the text line, but I'm getting text here from Birmingham, so McGill fans here, let's see. I got my family is up there watching McGill playing Huffman in the basketball championship. Got a nephew playing on that team. Pretty proud. Let's see. McGill was up by one. 45 seconds were left. Now Huffman by one. I do not have another update. Huffman's up by one right now is what I'm getting from Birmingham in the high-tech phone communication between the missus and I. All right, from the other text line here, let's go. Don, hey, Sean, I believe the reason Biden did not mention a short-term fix, which would have been at least 2 years for us to recover from this energy debacle, he would be handing Trump a win because he would be reinstating a Trump policy, would he not? Absolutely. He would, Don. There's a politics of it, but I would just, listen, I'm not surprised. And you look up and you see what happened last night, and you go, this is the best we can do? It's the best we can do in our nation? Really? But you could, he could paint it as his own, Don. I mean, he could say, no, that's not a Trump policy because I changed one letter or whatever. Make it, I don't care. Like, I don't have to have I'm not a pundit to the point that I have to have a win for the Republicans over the day. I need a win for the American people and win for what's right. And you know what's right is not taking a stinking drop of Russian oil. And if you're a country that we pump money into you all the time, you're not either, or we're not going to keep funding you. Unnamed texter, when the Dems want to fund police, they want to throw money at internal affairs, counselors, social workers, and anything but actual law enforcement. Yeah, well, unnamed texter, we'll see what that actually turns out to be. I'll tell you what, I'll ask this question too. Paul Birch, Detective Paul Birch, who's running for sheriff, is going to join me on the show tomorrow. We'll talk to him about that. Did you see the two F-18s that buzzed around downtown about 10 a.m. today? I did not, Jeremy. That's cool to see. You know, being out in the Gulf, you get to see some really fantastic demonstrations of just practice, right, for our air power. It's a good thing. I did not see them here today. Unnamed texter, no need to expect Russian troops to put down arms and get peaceful. They know the invasion will... They know an invasion with indiscriminate shelling brings death. And yeah, that's where they are now, as the Russians are absolutely targeting Ukrainian civilians now. It's not even on the edges of civilian areas. It's they're hitting civilian areas. You know, and they did the, oh, well, we told you to get out. So now we're going to hit the civilian areas. That story I was talking about, this one from The Sun, okay? So, but the headline here, and do I, everything that comes out from both sides, but let's talk about the side I want to be right, the Ukrainian side, you know, that I, my heart is engaged in their success, right? You do realize there's propaganda on all sides, but like Cameron said earlier, sometimes it's an okay thing to, at least with part of your body, maybe your heart, cheer their propaganda. This, I think, probably has a good deal of truth mixed in with what might be a little seasoning of propaganda in it. I mean, one thing last week we talked about, was it last week or Monday, about the Chechens coming in and the Chechen detachment that's there to go hunt and kill Zelensky, which is probably interesting. They probably motivated the Chechens, who are mostly Muslim, like predominantly, beyond predominantly Muslim, they probably put a spin on it, a religious spin for them. Because Zelensky, who Putin calls a Nazi sympathizer, is Jewish. But, you know, facts, why do we need to worry about that? All right, so the story goes this way. As Russia's forces run out of food and fuel, some have resorted to looting, while others are even reportedly sabotaging their own military equipment in a bid to get out of the war. This one I've been hearing that they're punching holes in their own fuel tanks, right, or gas tanks, depending on what they're running, to make them leak out. And then like, oh, no, I can't go any further. We have no more fuel. Goes on to say, Putin's assault on Ukraine capital Kyiv appears to have stalled as fighting enters the seventh day, with 6,000 Russian troops killed in the conflict so far. I mean, think about that right now, too. That, you know, but that's normal Russian operating procedure. I mean, go back to the Battle of Stalingrad. You want to talk about number of Russian troops killed. And that's the thing, that as bravely as the Ukrainians are fighting, and what great leadership from the front of the line for Zelensky, which I think is true. I think there's some propaganda shine put on it, but I think it's a true thing that he is doing that, almost like the leaders of old, right? They would rally their armies, not pushing them from behind, but leading them from in front. They go, let's say they go another 2 weeks with this, and they double or triple the number of Russian troops they've killed, the Russians will still continue to send more troops in. That's the problem here, is all the bravery and the targeting and knowing your country and fighting on your doorstep. And you get it, man. Tar Heel, man. This is my home. These are my people. I'm going to fight like a dog you've never seen. But eventually the Russian machine just keeps sending more and more people. They don't care. They'll send more and more people. They'll keep coming. That's why this war probably goes fairly quickly to a guerrilla-style occupied space war. But it says now footage is emerging of captured Russian soldiers crying as they claim they had no idea what to expect in Ukraine. Intercepted radio messages indicate troops are disobeying orders from Moscow to shell Ukrainian towns and complaining about running out of food and fuel. The recordings obtained by the British intelligence company Shadowbreak include a soldier who sounds like he's crying. In another recording, a soldier loses his temper as he asks for when the food and fuel will arrive. A third recording features a tense exchange in which the same soldier refuses to use artillery on an area until the civilians have left. Some kind of messages were proof of war crimes, as they reveal Kremlin ordered Russian troops to fire missiles into urban areas. And that's what's happening today. It said separate videos are believed to show frustrated Russian troops retreating, while one soldier is said to have texted his mother, "The only thing I want right now is to kill myself." Well, probably Ukrainian will help you with that soon. A senior U.S. defense official told reporters yesterday that Russia's forces have faced major issues after Putin's hope of a quick takeover of Kyiv were dashed. Some of the units are reportedly running out of food and fuel, while a number of troops were highly inexperienced and they didn't even know they were being sent into combat. You know, a lot of these, whether it's the Chechens or others, are areas that have had conflicts with Russia and then have been subjugated, and now the men conscripted into the Russian military. I mean, very much the Roman army style. And those will be the first ones, you know, that they're using as cannon fodder, and then they'll bring in more and more experienced Russian troops. I mean, this is what's going to happen here. And as Putin's not getting his way, he's not backing down anytime soon. That's my worry, is we're at the beginning of what could be a very, very long conflict. Without a miracle out there, I don't see an end or a de-escalation anytime soon. I mean, Putin's going to continue the offensives. It's going to get bigger and bigger. And he will keep pushing and pushing. And this ends up, how you look up like next week and everything's cool and this thing's de-escalated, I don't see it. I don't see, I mean, Putin's going to save face. He'll throw every man he has at it before he loses face in this. And that's the problem, too. Decades-long conflict in a powder keg where this could so easily spill over a border right into a NATO country and then bring on a gigantic European war. Everybody says World War III. Maybe it is a giant European war. I mean, nobody thought that a Serbian territorial dispute would become World War I back then, did they? But it did. So I just want to point that out. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. And coming up at 1 o'clock, Scuttlebutt Radio Network.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Ash Wednesday. Glad to have you here. Also good to talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry as we continue to get news from half a world away and news from our economy right here. It brings me to the question I'm always asking Angelo. Hey, how's precious, how are precious metals looking? How's gold looking? How's silver looking?
Still climbing. Slow and steady on both of them. So gold, last time I looked, was around 1925. Silver bumped up to about 2525 an ounce for a little bit. And it looks like they're going to continue to keep climbing and keep pushing upwards. I mean, for goodness sakes, all the stuff going on overseas right now, plus all the craziness with the economy here, I'm surprised the numbers aren't a lot higher.
I'm looking also at a picture you sent me. We always talk about the precious metal, but then getting certain coins for collectability. And these are, though, these are pretty. It's got the old maple leaf. This is Canadian. What is this? They're gold.
It was a stack of Canadian maple leaves and the 1 ounce gold Cougarams.
Okay.
So we've had some customers wanting to buy larger quantities of gold and silver. And like we've always tried to tell people, it's like, you know, we can take care of that right here in town. You know, whether we have it in stock or whether we have to order it in, whether it's an ounce, whether it's a large quantity, we can take care of you. We're going to be competitive with pricing, and we're going to make sure that, you know, you've got exactly what you want and you're happy when you leave.
And there's a nuance to this as well that you've explained over time, but if new people are listening to us, you've got the precious metal value that we're talking about, just the raw precious metal value, but then it's this collectability that can increases it beyond where it would be just for the raw metal.
Right. And that's one of the things a lot of people want to understand and want to learn about. But of course, we like to talk about that here at the shop. We also talk about it all the time on the podcast and radio show to you guys, Mr. Change. So you're getting that information, you're hearing what we're talking about, but you got to come by the shop and actually see it in person so you understand a little better exactly what it is we're describing with some of these discussions.
All right, so let's do this. First of all, let's talk about coming and seeing you in person, and then, yeah, checking out the radio show as well.
Yeah, we're in Midtown Mobile, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can also like and follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. If you want to hear us every Tuesday night, FM Talk 106.5 from 6 to 7 p.m. with two guys and some change. If for whatever reason you can't catch us there, just go to twoguysandsomechange.com and listen to the podcast there.
Thank you, Angelo.
Have a good one, sir.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, get to some more of these texts here, too. Okay, so Travis, let's see, Mike. I think Travis says, so Ukraine and U.S. are going to suffer because of Biden's politics. We have to expose him for holding Ukraine and U.S. hostage. $1 billion in oil sales to Russia while we give Ukraine money to fight. CIA tactics out in the open. You know, there's the whole levels of conspiracy that are always talked about. But Travis, like I think you're saying kind of what I am, this is, let's not even go into the, well, what you don't know. Let's just talk about what's like right in front of us. That our dollars end up going to buy Russian oil, and then we are paying for the Ukrainians to fight the Russians. So we're paying. This should be the easiest thing. State of the Union last night. Not that it's easy, but politically, it would have been easy to come out and said, we're not taking any more. And yes, and also saying that we should open our pipelines to do those things. But he could even, he could address it differently, right? Because it's politics, right? He doesn't want to say he's going to do something that was a Trump policy. Well, then, if you want to change the lettering and the order and you know, change the color of the document, I don't care. If you want to just work it around to make it your, that's fine. Because at this point, it's about the American people and it's about what's right on a global stage. Let's see. Phil, if you can't give me an American recording live battles and results of what they're alleging happened, sorry, I'm not really buying most of it, then all we are getting is granny videos or after-the-fact pictures. It's probably a voice-to-text thing. Hey, what this is really about or what it means or this is what happened, but we don't have anything that shows you that it happened. Okay. Now, Phil, remember me talking about this weeks ago? If you listened back then, I was, because I've been on this, well, a month and something as this built up, and I have been really bothered by the fact that we don't have, now, once again, there's a different thing. We don't have boots on the ground in Ukraine, but we got plenty of boots on the ground in the NATO, what, another 7,000 called up to go into Western Europe there to back up the soldiers that are already there, military that's already there. They don't have any embedded reporters. And that was a policy that came out of the White House. No embedded reporters with U.S. troops there. We had embedded reporters on the front of the Vanguard leading into Iraq. We've had embedded U.S. reporters with our military forever. It's the way we do things. So that, I know, doesn't solve the problem, Phil, of having the video from inside Ukraine. I would say this. I understand your cynicism, Phil, but there's also a time when cynicism gets like, the pendulum always in our world is swinging one way or another, right? When it should just be hanging in the middle. If you disregard, because you're absolutely right, that's why I say this might be propaganda, that might be propaganda, but if you disregard every piece of video you see, and there are quite a bit from independent sources out there, crazy that TikTok, which I am not getting on board, even though I threaten my children if they don't act right, I'm going to get on there and be foolish. You get on, TikTok has a lot of videos coming out. They can't, I guess, Phil, what I'm saying is they can't all be false. And they do show these attacks out there. So let's discredit, we want to discredit, you and I call it 75% of them, which I think is probably not right, but let's say 75% of them are false. Then some of the things you're seeing are true out there. Phil, the Russians are not our friends. The Russians are engaged in a full-out war in Ukraine. That the levels of, beyond what is happening specifically to Ukraine, the amount of destabilization this is causing for the entirety of Europe is crazy. And once again, I'm still no Americans in theater or in Ukraine. But how easily could something like this spill over? It's a powder keg, to be cliche here. All right, Sam says, Sean, the Democrats are trying to make themselves look good. The invasion of Ukraine is all over the news, and they are trying to take advantage of it for their upcoming elections. I think, you know, Jeff talked about that some this morning. Kind of wrap yourself in the flag, even though it's a Ukrainian flag. Why aren't they aiding and bringing attention to the genocide that's happening in other countries? Because it evidently is not newsworthy. We should be taking care of taxpaying U.S. citizens first. There are so many things that are wrong here in the U.S. that the Biden administration created. You have a great show. Thanks, Sam. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that. All right. We'll do this again tomorrow for Midday Mobile. I'll be hanging out, but I'll be hanging out with Scuttlebutt Radio Network as a show for veterans by veterans starts next right here on FM Talk 106.5 and online, FMTalk1065.com.